FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 1/29/20. And if you've been watching the markets, well, they've been going down. And is it the virus? Is it time for the markets to go down? Is it the cycle? Or is it the narrative? What is the narrative? And how does that move markets? That's what you need to know. And that's why we've got our good friend Charles Nenner with us. And you find him at Charles Nenner, NENNER.com. And Charles, we've been talking for a long time already. Markets are headed down. Gold is headed up. Bonds are up. And you have an explanation.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have an explanation up to a certain level. What I've been trying to get across for years is that things don't move at random. And if you're at random investor, then usually it's not going to end well because you don't have a systematic approach of what you're doing. So for years, I tried to get across that things don't move at random, which means certain things happen at a certain time. I also like to get across that things happen because there's an interpretation of the facts, which is more important than the facts. To give you a fast example, if you own IBM and IBM goes up 50% this year, and IBM comes up with great numbers, the question is IBM going up or down? Well, that depends on what my cycle looks like for IBM. If the cycle is up, then we can read in the newspapers, investors poured into IBM because the results were great. So the problem is, what if the cycle is down and the results are still great? Well, then IBM goes down, and then the headlines are investors took profit because they don't think IBM can do better next year. So the interpretation of the facts is always very important. But based on my cycle work, we also know when something's going to happen. Now, I've been trying to get this across before I went to Goldman Sachs, while I was at Goldman Sachs, but it's very difficult for people who are so short-term looking in markets and listen to media to see the whole picture. And the whole picture will show you actually how these markets fundamentally move. Now, I give it another chance because our Nobel Prize winner just published a book saying that narratives move the market. Well, Professor Shiller, what I'm talking about, doesn't bring something new. Of course, narratives are bringing out up and down swings in the market. But since we don't know what the narratives are, it doesn't really help us. What does help us is cycle work and price targets that tell you when a narrative is going to come up and when something's going to come up. Like, and that's why I bring it up, we have this situation with the virus. So we knew that the market is vulnerable. That's why nobody of my clients, at least if they followed me, were long in stocks. We were long in the VIX, and we took a very, very nice profit again today. And something had to give. Something had to come up that would be the reason for the market to sell off. Now, did the market sell off because of the virus? On one side, you can say it was because of the virus. On the other side, it was because the cycle said they had to come down. So then you get what people call a black swan situation that was invented by a person who says, I can understand all market moves, but when I don't understand it, I call it a black swan. I don't believe there's a black swan. I think if we research more, then we understand that also this can be solved, this problem, and I don't call it a black swan. But let's call it a black swan. So the black swan in this case was the virus. But what's missing in Professor Shiller's book about narratives is that he doesn't know when the narratives are coming up and what the narratives are going to be. So I try to educate people that it's not so important to know why things happen to the market. We're all concentrating why market goes up and down. We're not concentrating on when it goes up and when it goes down and how much it goes up and how much it goes down. Because we have been educated that this is something you can't know. So since we were totally on target, going totally out of stocks and being long the VIX, and since Professor Shiller comes out with his book, I'm giving it lately another try to make people understand how markets really function.
Okay. And so when we think of narratives, how do you define a narrative? What is a narrative exactly?
I don't really know because I didn't read his book. I don't really know what he means by narrative. I guess he means that if the numbers of a stock are good, but the rumors say that it's not going to be good, that's a narrative. And then a stock might sell off, although the numbers are good. When I read the book, I tell you, but I didn't read the book yet. Mm-hmm. It was just interesting that we're not, for the first time, we see a major contributor to financial literature talk about narratives and not about price earnings only and cash flows and other things that we look at book value. So things are shifting a little bit. And since now, you know, people are going to read books that narratives are important. So I come back and trying to tell them, you don't want to know the narratives. You want to know when the narratives are going to hit. And that is what cycles are going to show you.
So when a cycle changes, you could say that the narrative changed with it or before it?
Yes. Well, there must be a reason why something is going to happen. If that's the real reason, I don't know. Yes, because I read a lot sentences that says, as crude oil sold off, so did the market. They're afraid to say because crude oil sold off, so did the market. So I never understand really what that means is as crude oil. Does it mean at the same time? Was it a correlation? It's all a bit unclear to me what a financial community means and what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm. So the market to most people, why it moves, where it goes, it's really a mystery. And while cycles don't explain so much the why, they do provide you a framework to understand when and how they're going to move, I guess.
And to give an example how difficult it is, the very big institutions that I work with that are taking huge positions in currencies, they always ask me which level to sell, which level to buy. And I tell them, I says, more important is I tell you when to buy and when to sell. And they're still not conditioned to think in when to buy and when to sell. They can only deal with price and not with time.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So the VIX sold off. Let me ask you, the current sell-off in the market, is that the beginning of the bear market, the reversal, or is it just going to be a temporary, buy on weakness type event, which is what the narrative usually is?
Well, for the moment, we don't buy because the cycles are down. I didn't really check. I think if the S&P closes below 30 to 50, then we get downside price targets and then we could go lower. But for the moment, as I wrote this morning, this is a short-term sell-off, and the cycles are down. Actually, they look very vulnerable for a long period. If we have another bounce, it's possible, because if a market goes up with such a momentum, it takes a couple of days of weakness before it really starts coming down, because people are conditioned to buy the dips.
Yeah. And so when I talked to you last, you commented that the VIX really looked like a buy at that point, if I remember, 2 months ago.
This VIX was at 12, and we closed out above 18 today. That's how I like to play the downside, not going short S&Ps or buying a puts on S&Ps, because the VIX is very, very simple to buy, because usually doesn't go much lower below 12, 11. So then you're stuck on that level and you have some time decay that you have to work with. But it works out very nicely. Now, my upside price target for this year, anyway, on the S&P was around 33.60, 33.70. So we were there like half a percent. We missed it by 0.5%. So for now, I don't think the whole year the S&P can go higher than 33.70.
Mm-hmm. 33.70, that's it? So basically the VIX topped out and... So it's going to head back down. We know that when the VIX makes peak, within a matter of days, it starts declining. And over time, decay. I guess there's technical reasons why the VIX will decline once it hits these peaks.
Well, again, I just do my work. There was a short-term cycle top early in the morning, because you also do hourly cycles. So we even can tell you which hour you have to go in, which hour you have to go out. And it hit my price target of 18. It went to 19. I think now it's at 16 or 16 and a half. So then we take profit. Why? I leave it up to you. I'm not clever enough to understand that.
Well, me neither. If I understood it, I'd own the world. And but so the VIX, a good place. So we don't know yet if this is a long-term bear or just a correction, which it wouldn't be surprising if it was a correction, would it?
No, but by the way, the world is not so great these days. I don't know if you want to own the world.
Maybe you should be selling it short, right?
Yeah.
So you're still obviously a bull on gold, right?
Right. If you want to watch a little bit how we do it, you get your entry points and the exit points because, you know, they go up $100 up, $100 down. But I think we go to 2,500. I stick with that in the next couple of years.
Well, we're at right away, right? You and I are talking. As we're talking, the price of gold is $1,580. It's up in past 30 days. It's up $69+. And in 1 year, it's up $277.50 or 21.3%. You know, gold had a great year last year, but the stock market was so much better that it was eclipsed and ignored.
It's right. But that's because most brokers are in stocks and they will advise their clients to go in stocks. Most financial television channels talk about stocks and maybe 2 minutes about gold.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody's concentrating on stocks.
So what about gold stocks? When price of gold is going up, the gold stocks generally are going up way faster because you've got leverage to the price of gold. On the other hand, when there's a broad decline in the market, the gold stocks get hit too, because then they're trading as stocks less so than hedges against the market.
Yeah, but at least you get a dividend. We were long for a while SLV. I like silver actually better than gold. I think soon silver is going to make a better move than gold. And like I said, we do this for a long time, and it's still worthwhile to sidestep a 5-7% correction and then go back in.
Interesting. So silver is going to be the major mover here. And right now, if you look at the narrative for silver, it's lagging gold. It's decidedly negative. People are not moving into silver, because if they were, price would be going up. But the smart people, you think the people who get all this are moving into silver now, huh?
Well, not exactly. Overnight, we took profit on our silver position. So short term, we're not very positive on silvers. We're waiting for the next entry to go long again.
Okay. So when do you think that entry point's going to be? I realize you can
that
follow
I'm
it
not,
daily.
That I didn't prepare myself. There's so much to do in all these markets.
Yeah,
what comes first. But like I always mention, we give the research a couple of weeks for free if you sign up. Then you see how we do it and all these levels and all these cycles, and then everything is there. I think it's 3 or 4. I think it's 4 weeks. You go to charlesnenner.com or Charles Nenner Research Center, and then you just sign up and we won't charge you. And then you see exactly what the cycle low and high is.
All right. Well, that's a reasonable one. So we already talked about the stock market. We talked about gold and silver. Bonds, you're still a bull on bonds, huh?
Long term, yes. I'm still, but now a little bit toppy because of a short-term cycle high, but longer term, I'm bullish on bonds, which is bad for the world because that means we're going to have the expected, at least expected by me, deflation. Don't forget, my price target on crude is $36, and natural gas already took a big hit, etc., etc. Or we're going to have a huge recession, maybe depression. So it's not so great that these bonds are going up, but they continue going up for most of the year.
Yep. They certainly have been performing well. So oil down to $36. That's going to put a lot of companies out of business, isn't it?
And a lot of countries, like what happened to Venezuela. Yeah. I don't know what happens to the other countries, but It's going to change the whole world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a game changer, $36 oil for sure. So what other markets should we be aware of here? Should we be paying attention to, Charles?
Well, we're looking for a stronger dollar starting later in February.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at coffee, corn, wheat, with all these markets for big importers and coffee traders. We do a lot on Bitcoin. The Bitcoin is very, very easy to calculate, because the Bitcoin actually, there are no fundamental reports coming out of Bitcoin. So the cycles are not bothered by anything. So Bitcoin is actually the most easy trade that we have, based on cycles and price targets, because nothing bothers us. It's just technical.
And you're buying the ETF, the Bitcoin ETF. Is that the one Is that the best way to play it?
A lot of people in the world who do with us the Bitcoin, but people who don't know how to do Bitcoin, they work with GBTC.
Right.
That's a fund that is invested in Bitcoins.
Mm-hmm. And where is Bitcoin heading now? Is it heading higher?
No, right now the cycle is stopping again. So we just got out and we're standing aside because I'm not going short on these Bitcoins. Then we wait for an entry level again on a lower level.
Yeah. So you think, is there any possibility that Bitcoin goes back down to 3,000, its prior low, 3,200?
No. That's not in the cards.
So we bottomed. So is there a regular weekly, monthly, a regular time cycle on Bitcoin?
Yes, it took a while because it had been traded for so long. But the cycles now, we have data that go back far enough. And it works really very good, this Bitcoin analysis.
Because I know, like gold, I've heard the 8-week cycle, 10-week cycle in gold. And it seems to be pretty pat there, that cycle. It doesn't always move up or down substantially, but it kind of moves along that cycle.
Yeah, but the Bitcoin is very simple. Nothing is simple, but it like I said, compared to other, it's very workable because there are no fundamentals on it.
Right. It's strictly emotion, right? You said that before, which I found fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. Not somebody, suddenly a big firm will come out with a statement about IBM because nobody really does fundamental work on Bitcoin. So we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. It's like, well, what about the fact that they're not going to be producing as many Bitcoin new ones shortly? Does that matter?
I have no clue. I understand very little about Bitcoin.
You just understand the Bitcoin cycle, which is a lot to be said for that. I mean,
somebody who's an expert says, he explained to me why it has to reach 100,000 one day because they take out Bitcoin out of the relation. But I don't understand it. If everybody would know that, I don't know why Bitcoin doesn't take off.
It's so funny because, I've been following this thing for, God, I want to tell you, 9 years, 10 years I've been following Bitcoin. Yeah. Of course, I didn't buy it when I should have a little bit. Made a little bit of money off of it. I can't complain, but it just seems like it defies reason often, and you really don't know what it's going to do, right?
I have no clue. I didn't have time to study this whole mining business and whatever people ask me. It says, I'm sorry, I can only help you what I know, not what I don't know.
Yeah, believe me, I get it. So when it makes these moves, do you have any clue how intense these moves are going to be?
Yeah, we have our price targets like we have in most markets. So if a cycle bottoms, we know we're going to buy and we know how high the price target is. And when we reach the price target and it's a cycle top, we sell. Then we let it come down again. Like I said, I don't want to go short. And then we go in again. And then we do that already for a year.
Interesting. Hey, what's your take on the Tesla stock?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Luminex Resources, ticker symbol LR on the Toronto Venture and LUMIF on the OTC, is a member of Lumina Group, the Ross Beaty company that has returned nearly 10-1 to investors since its founding in 2004. It's currently advancing a portfolio of large-scale exploration properties in Ecuador with 3 key assets and 2 world-class partners, Anglo American and BHP. With the decline in other sectors of its economy, Ecuador is aggressively nurturing its growing mining sector, and Luminex is a prime beneficiary of the new policy. If passed as prologue, investors should see outsized returns on the company's gold and copper holdings. For more info, go to luminexresources.com and make sure you sign up to get the company's latest notifications. That's luminexresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
That's a good question. I think I looked at it. I think the monthly cycle still looks up.
Yeah,
it's very
hardly
difficult
down.
We had the 550 level. I don't even know what's trading now that I said here we want to go out. And I don't know. I didn't calculate if they're higher price targets, but I look at the monthly and it still looked okay.
It's barely down. The decline, it went down. It hit close to 600. It was trading in the mid 550s.
That's the price target.
Yeah. So fascinating. So that stock, when you look at the fundamentals of the company and then you look at the cycle, What does the fundamentals of this company tell you?
I have no clue.
All right. Well, yeah, like their earnings are definitely up. We know this, if you can believe
that,
the earnings.
That much I heard, yeah. But yeah. The interesting thing is that this took off when the cycle was bottoming. So that was an easy one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. Any other key stocks that we should look at? Any other indices that are worth playing that don't have, that won't burn you too much if they go down?
No, what's very interesting is we bought, for people who had cash, we bought OXI, Occidental Petroleum, because it gave 8.5% dividend, and we bought it around 38, and then we sold in the money 30 call, because we don't do it as a speculation, we do it to get the 8.5% dividend.
Mm.
So that's almost safer trade, and as long as it doesn't go below 30, and you get the 8.5%. So for people who are in cash, because we went out of stock, we found this creation to do 8.5%. I always watch Occidental Petroleum, but it went down and down and down, but it looked like a cycle that it had to go up. And then I overheard that Mr. Buffett was accumulating OXI. I guess he does his fundamental work. So then I wasn't that afraid. So I says, let's do this close in this 8.5% a year.
And the stock went up and it's yielding about 7.5 now. So
well, no, it's now around 42, but it's not to make a profit, just to stay there for a year and get a return of 8.5%.
And you think that dividend is safe?
I think the dividend is safe, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But yeah, who am I to know if the dividend is safe? It looks like it's okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. It's certainly worth a play. And then if you're selling covered calls on it, you know.
Yeah, deep in the money.
Yeah.
Because after the 8.5% goes off, the stock might go down 8.5%. So then you don't gain anything. So you have to sell deep in the money calls and just sit on it. Now, even if the dividend goes to 7%, it's much better than what you get in the bank.
And that's the question, interest rates cycle. So if treasuries are going up, then interest rates are going down. And how much longer can that situation last here, Charles?
A long time, because I think we go in a weak economy. I just saw that in Amsterdam, because in Amsterdam and Holland, I can get a mortgage for 0.8%.
Really?
And the money you get in the bank is 0%. And if you have more than $10,000, you have to pay the bank.
Oh, that's fair.
but the problem is that the law says that pension funds have to be 70% in bonds.
Yeah, so they're forced to lose money.
So nobody will have a pension and the consumer will have no money to buy anything. It's going to be a huge mess. I think also here, if the recession comes, then interest rates will go lower. I don't know how this is a new situation. I don't think it's going to end well.
Interesting. So you really are bearish on the economy at large.
My cycles say that from now on, unemployment should start going up. And the for instance, I look at the shipping index, the Baltic Dry Index, and that is moving down strongly, which usually is a precursor of the economy of 6 months. So things are not going well soon. And what do you think about China? China's GDP is going to cut in half if this becomes serious.
Yeah. Yeah, and you already saw increased unrest in Hong Kong as a result of it. You know, one of those cycles, the social unrest cycle, is really heading upwards here.
Yeah, that's the 60-year cycle. So that was expected. It's only going to get worse everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. I mean, it's dozens of countries. We're seeing people kind of rise up in arms, saying the government's not working for us. We're getting the short end of the stick, and they're rising up. This is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, interesting for me as an outsider, looking from a Dutch perspective, it seems that Americans don't know how fast they can ruin this USA country. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, deficit. So all of this is in spite of the deficit. All of it's in spite of trillions of dollars in debt, yet the treasuries go up. I mean, it's almost counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about here, Charles, but the upshot is you're still bullish on gold, long-term bullish on silver. You're looking for a recession, and we talked about real estate, small apartments, et cetera, right. things like that. You're neutral there now because the rates are so low.
Yeah, but you still get 7-8% if you rent out an apartment that you bought.
Yeah, and if you Airbnb it, you could get up in the 20-30%.
But I wouldn't dare to do that with my places. You never know how it ends. But you're totally correct. I'm a conservative Dutch person. We don't always try to figure out how to make money. We try how not to lose money.
Sometimes that's the best you can hope for in a market is not to lose. Maybe you don't make that much, but you don't lose that much either. And then you come out ahead.
So I invite everybody to look at this cycle work that we do because I really like to get out these ideas in the world. Take it for free for 4 weeks. See if you can even make some nice money with it and try to understand how markets really work.
Hey, one last stock I'm going to hit you up on is Amazon. What do we see there?
We sold Amazon above 2000 and we're still standing aside. And let me give you a cycle forecast. The cycles are slowly bottoming, but everything continues on a sell signal. So if you watch the research, because we follow Amazon, we'll tell you exactly, because I don't have everything ready in my head, when the cycle bottoms and what the target price is.
But it's bottoming at this point? And
I remember that the price target is lower. So first it can go lower, but it's all in the research.
All right. So you need to get the research. So you go over to charlesnenner.com, just fill in the blanks there. And you get it for a month. And then if you want to renew, great. Charles, we've been talking for years. Hey, a lot of your calls, especially when it comes to the VIX, have just been uncanny. You started with the VIX calls about a year and a half ago. At one point, the VIX was down to under 10, and it peaked intraday at 51. And even if you were slow selling it off, you still could have sold it off in the high 20s or low 30s. That was one of the most remarkable calls ever because the VIX had been moribund for years and all of a sudden it just took off.
So my operation manager just say I have to mention that if people come through carry lots, they get a big discount.
Oh, even better.
So they should say if they want to continue, I came through carry lots.
All right. You hear all that? Everybody go over to charlesnenner.com, subscribe, tell them that Carrie sent you. And if you subscribe, you'll get a substantial discount as a result. Don't say I never did anything for you. Charles, always a pleasure. Any questions or comments for Charles, we will pass them on. Email address kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network, and visit our website financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Charles, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
We'll talk soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.